Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Burbank.
We all have those areas in our lives where we feel like losers. Maybe a failure, an area where you feel inept or ugly or less than what you should be. Most people respond to that by trying to feel good about themselves. But there's a better way. Feeling good about God feels better than feeling good about yourself. This message will help you see the value of your lowliness so that you can rejoice in it. We're studying James chapter 1. We're starting with verse 9. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will fade away like a wildflower. Of all the insults that people could potentially throw your way, I think one of the most painful, especially if it has some validity to it, is loser. Anybody ever called you a loser? I mean, someone important to you called you a loser? You know what's even more painful than that, than having somebody call you a loser, is having your own heart call you that. When you just, you look around and you see some people around here that outshine you in certain areas, and you just think, man, I'm just so lame. I mean, what's the matter with me? Why can't I be like that? Other people, you know, they get A's like effortlessly. I study until my brain is bleeding and I still fail the test. I can't get, you know, my boss at work, he's half my age, he's making double my salary, he's just, and I'm down at the bottom. Or, look how beautiful she is, you know, look how thin she is, look at his physique, I mean, I'm such a slob, you know, man, alive. Every time I go on a diet, it's like the worst 3 hours of my life. Or look how obedient their kids are. You know, they just got their act together. They just know what they're doing. People come into my house, they would see just chaos. Or some of these guys around here, they can fix anything. I mean, they can wire an outlet, rebuild a generator, put up drywall, whatever. I tell my wife, I get a screwdriver, I tell my wife I'm going to try and fix the furnace or something. She just starts laughing like it's the funniest thing she's ever heard. She's like, do you even know where the furnace is in our house? No, but you don't have to laugh so hard about it. We all feel it at different points, but most of us, in some area, just can't escape that gnawing feeling that, I'm such a loser in that area. Guy pulls up to you, and you know, next to you in his 2014 Ford Mustang, and you're sitting there in your 71 Pinto, and you're just like, oh, loser, you know? How do you deal with that? How do you handle your loserness? I mean, you know, it's not like you're a loser in every area. You're doing fine in lots of areas. You're doing good. But isn't it true that just once in a while, in certain areas, once in a while, it just hits you like a shot to the gut. You just, oh, such a failure in this area. That is your loserness. Or since only a loser would invent a word like loserness, how about we use the biblical term? There's a Greek, the Greek word for loserness is tapenas. Tapenas. And I'll give you a couple of, I'll show you a couple of passages where that word is used so you can get a feel for the meaning of it. Romans 12:16, see if you would agree that this word basically means loser. Romans 12:16, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with the tapenas. Do not be conceited. So the tapenas, they're such losers that we actually need a command in Romans 12 commanding us to associate with them. Otherwise, we'd be tempted to just kind of keep our distance. Luke 1:52, he has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the tapenas. So tapenas is the opposite of a ruler. It's someone who's low that needs to be lifted up. 2 Corinthians 7:5, Paul calls himself a tapenas because he has been brought low by all his fears and weaknesses and anxieties. And so a tapenas person is someone who's so weak and so inadequate and so lowly that people don't even want to associate with them. And our word for that in English, as far as I can tell, is loser, right? That's what the word means. And that's the word, that tapenas, that's the word here in verse 9 in this passage. It's the word translated in the NIV, humble circumstances, Or your Bible might say lowly. That's a good translation. But whatever translation you use, whatever word you use, the question is, how do you deal with it in your life? How do you deal with your loserness, your lowliness, your inadequacy, the things that make you unattractive to people and that cause people to look down on you, the things that cause you to look down on you? How do you deal with that? What's the solution to that? The world has some solutions. Their main solution is self-esteem. Self-esteem is the art and science of pretending you're not a loser. It only works for people who are really good at being delusional and denying reality, because let's face it, these areas where we feel like we're a loser, we're not making that up, right? There's something there. There's some reason why we feel that way. It's reality. Other people try to deal with it by doing things like cutting themselves. You know, they don't know what to do. They just feel like they have to do something, and they just comes out in self-destruction of some form. That's how they express their disapproval of their own tapenas. They just don't like it. Others deal with it by just get drunk, you know, or smoke some weed or take some Xanax. I can't stand the sting of my lowliness, so I'm just going to take something to take the edge off of that sting. Most people deal with their lowliness by just ignoring it, just diverting their attention to some other area where they're doing pretty well. You know, oh, yeah, well, maybe I'm not very smart in book knowledge, but I got a lot of common sense, you know, or I'm not very good there, but I'm good over here. At least I don't, you know, or whatever. They just divert their attention to some area where they're doing well. See, I'm not lowly. I'm not really a failure. I'm okay. Isn't it true that as much as you try to do that, from time to time, the reality of your lowliness still just kind of leaks through your defenses, and it hits you, and you see someone else excelling in that particular area, and you just think, "Ah, man, loser! I can't deny it." What if I told you that there's a way to take that painful, horrible, gnawing feeling, and instead of just stuffing it back under the covers, or clouding it over with drugs, or crying, or cutting, or pretending it's not real, what if I told you that instead of any of that, you could do something that would actually take that horrible feeling and turn it into joy? Would you be interested in learning how to do that with your loserness? That is exactly what James is going to teach us today. Before I went on sabbatical a month and a half ago, we were studying verse by verse through the book of James. We left off at verse 9, so that's right where we're going to pick it up today. James is going to show us what we should do when we get hit in the face with our lowliness, our loserness. So you're sitting there, and you're like, okay, I'm a D student. Or I got fired from a job a monkey could do, you know, or, you know, I was engaged, or, you know, whatever it is for you. Or you're like me last night. I had 7 weeks to prepare for this message, for this service. And I forget my notes. I show up late for church last night, forget the bulletins, and forget my sermon. I get up here to preach, open up my book, nothing. It's like, okay, loser. What do you do when you got that? What should you do with your loserness? James' answer? Boast. Boast. NIV, take pride. It's just a normal word that we see all through Scripture about boasting. Boast. That's the solution. The whole purpose of this whole passage here is to command us to do that good kind of boasting, because James knows that what you boast in determines the trajectory of your life. The things that you prize as being really important, the things that you think of as being the mark of success, the definition of success, those are the things you will run after in your life. You will. So with that in mind, here's another way. We could actually define boasting this way. Your boast is in whatever things have risen to heart-controlling levels of importance in your life. Okay, so now we know what boasting is. Let's get back to our passage. When James tells the lowly loser in verse 9, boast! Solution for your lowliness, your loserness, boast! What he's saying is, look, you've got something of supreme value. When you feel the sting of your loserness, you feel lowly, oh, you've got something we're celebrating. You got a treasure. You got something that really, really matters. It's something you should think of as a badge of honor. This is the goal. It's so valuable. You should let it rise to heart-controlling levels of importance in your life. It's that valuable. Let that steer your life. Let that govern your life. Running after something that important. That other stuff, success in your career, that money that you wish you had, the good looks you wish you had, the car, the house, the education, the respect of others, all that stuff. That organized life where you have all your ducks in a row and everything lined out and squared away and under control, all that stuff that you don't let that be your boast. Don't let that steer the pursuit of your life. Don't make those things your boast. But the pain you feel when you're missing some of that stuff, oh man, that's valuable. That's solid gold. That's something that is worth boasting in. Why? Because it hurts? No. Not the pain part of it. That's not what's great about it. You say, well, what's great about it? What will it get me that's so valuable? What is this priceless treasure that losers can have access to that's so incredibly valuable that it's worth celebrating and pursuing and elevating to heart-controlling levels in your life? What does James say? What is the answer to that? What does he tell us to boast in? He says, to the brother in humble circumstance, the loser ought to boast in his, what? High position. Actually, the word position isn't even in the Greek. It's just highness. Let the lowly brother boast in how high he is. His highness. So that's a paradox. It's a paradox. He's saying, if you're really low, be glad about the fact that you're so high. That's what he's saying. Now, a paradox, anytime you see a paradox in Scripture, paradox is anything that sounds like a contradiction but really isn't. That's a paradox. G.K. Chesterton defined a paradox as truth standing on its head, screaming for attention. Okay, that's a great definition. That's exactly the purpose of a paradox. The Bible writers write like this on purpose. They want you to stop and say, huh? What? And they want you to think, what is he saying? This only makes sense if you're already familiar with Jesus' teachings, which James readers are. James doesn't give any explanation for this because he expects you to understand. He expects you to be familiar with the gospel. He's talking to brothers here. And so they're already exposed to Jesus' teaching. They know Jesus' teaching. And one of the most fundamental principles of the gospel is the fact that only the humble can be saved, right? You don't go to heaven. You don't enter the gate of heaven unless you're on your knees. Only humble people can be saved, and the more humble you are, the greater you are in the kingdom of God. Jesus' very first sentence in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs and theirs alone is the kingdom of God. So, don't short-circuit what God is doing in your life by trying to run after self-esteem. That'll ruin the whole point of your lowliness. Don't run after self-esteem, or don't even run after the Christianized version of self-esteem, which is these days identity in Christ. There's a lot of preachers that are saying, okay, see, the whole point of self-esteem is I want to make much of myself. I want to feel good about myself. And so the world does that through self-esteem. And Christian preachers see that and say, well, we can't do it through self-esteem. We'll do it in a Christian way. We'll baptize that and we'll do it a Christian way. And here's how you can feel good about yourself. Here's how you can make much of yourself. Think about your identity in Christ. You know, your sins are forgiven and you're sanctified and you're loved and you're pleasing in God's sight in Christ and you're gifted spiritually and you have the mind of Christ and you have eternal life and you have, and what, how should we respond to that? All those things are true, right? They're wonderful truths, marvelous truths that we should think about. But listen, the reason that is your identity in Christ and more. But the reason Christ gave you that identity is not so that you could make much of yourself. It's so that you could make much of the Christ who gave you that identity. That's what's... You see, feeling good about yourself isn't the best kind of feeling good. If you want to feel good about yourself, that's not the best kind of feeling good. The goal isn't to feel good about yourself in the Christian way instead of the secular way. The goal is to feel good about God. Because, listen, feeling good about God feels better than feeling good about yourself. The greatest joy isn't to be the one up on the stage with a bunch of adoring fans screaming your name. The great joy is to be one of the fans looking at something truly spectacular on the stage and being amazed. That's the greatest joy. So, if you're a loser in some area of life, James' message for you this morning is prize your lowliness.
We'll dig a little deeper next time into this whole concept of boasting in Scripture and what that means. Understanding what the Bible means by that word and how to boast the right way is crucially important for living the Christian life. So I hope you can make it back next time, because you don't hear a whole lot of sermons about this topic, even though it's all over the Bible. But for today, let's just focus on the core idea in the passage. Celebrate your lowliness, because it's your ticket to humility, which is of supreme value. What are your areas of lowliness where you feel like a loser? What are some areas where the world laughs at you or is thoroughly unimpressed with you? Some things about your life that you really like to hide. Take a moment to thank God for those things, because without them, humility would be next to impossible for you. Now, what if you don't have much in the way of loserness? Maybe you're not a loser. Maybe you're a big winner in the eyes of the world. You have it together. You're at the top of your game right now, and people envy you. Well, don't worry. There's hope for you. James will cover that in the days to come. But thankfully, most of us have plenty of loserness to work with. I know I certainly do. Thank God for giving you the weaknesses He gave you, and ask Him to help you use those to learn humility so they don't go to waste.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.